Welcome to another Transfer Tittle Tattle, and hasn't it been a busy week? Coming up, we've got Michael Cummins, Bleacher Report correspondent for Arsenal. He'll be joining us from America. He'll also be giving us an insight into how the Premier League has been taking over in America and what a growing business it has been. We'll also be talking to Robert Blanchett, Bleacher Report UK correspondent for Manchester United and the Faithful United blogging website, to talk all things about the Red Devils and how they've been getting on in the Premier League so far. And Liam Williams from the Mirror Online joins me too to talk about all the latest transfer news and rumours from across the country.
Transfer Tittle Tattle on Radio Yorkshire.
Welcome to Transfer Tittle Tattle with me, Danny Parkinson, here from 9 till 10 tonight. What an absolutely packed show we've got. It's all been kicking off in the last week. And to talk about all the latest transfer news and rumours just 1 week before the transfer window shuts, it's Liam Williams from the Mirror Online. Thanks for joining me, Liam.
Thanks for having me, Danny.
So, Liam, let's start the show by having a chat about some of the weekend's football. There were some quite underwhelming results, but not bad for the third game of the season in.
No, I think you're just starting to see a little bit of levelling out now. You know, Man United have finally dropped points, Liverpool and Arsenal playing out a stalemate, and Chelsea back to winning ways. So, yeah, it seems to just sort of be finding its feet a little bit now.
Yeah, interesting, especially that Arsenal-Liverpool game, because it was billed as a massive game. But for me, it always had nil-nil written over it, because, quite frankly, these two teams always looked like they were just going to be able to cancel each other out.
I totally disagree. I looked at the teams and I thought there's goals all over
really?
This. Yeah, you looked, there were Koscielny and Mertesacker were both injured for Arsenal.
Yeah, yeah.
So you'd see immediately Liverpool have got an incentive to go and attack them. And at the same time, I couldn't see Arsenal not scoring for a second consecutive game at home. But again, I think it sort of highlights their, I don't want to call it a striker crisis, but I think the need for another forward.
Well, that's it, because I mean, even all the saves that Mignolet made, there were some good saves, but they were pretty standard,
yeah,
weren't they?
Really, yeah.
Standard.
I think you compare them to Czechs, and you know, Czech saves, some of them were fantastic saves. Mignolet's were fairly standard saves. They needed making, but you would expect him to save them. I don't think Arsenal tested him as much as they'd have liked, to be honest.
Manchester United so far this season, it really does scream for me that they really need that sort of 20-goal-a-season striker, because, quite frankly, even the first goal they scored at the start of the season, it was Kyle Walker that scored, wasn't it?
Look at the two goals that they've scored this season. One was Kyle Walker and one was a deflected goal from Januzaj.
Yeah.
You know, they've not looked like scoring goals, and whilst they don't really look like conceding, it's at the other end of the pitch where the struggles really are at the moment, and I think that's a little bit of a concern with so little time left in the transfer window.
Do you think it's there's a problem with the sort of negative football that's being played?
I don't want to call it negative, because I think it's just defensively solid. They have most of the ball, they usually dominate possession. It's just a lack of tempo and urgency in the final third. They just don't look like carving teams open. They look like if you get 10 men behind the ball, they'll struggle to break you down, and that's proved to be the case.
Well, let's have a look at some of the transfer news that's been making the headlines. And the biggest one for me, and I have to admit, this was a shock, whether or not you agree with him moving or not, it's the Sir Stones transfer request. He's handed that into Everton now, and it looks like he will be on his way before the end of the transfer window. But yeah, it took me by surprise, this one, Liam.
Yeah, well, I think when a top club like Chelsea comes calling, and realistically Everton aren't going to be in the Champions League anytime soon, and you can see almost now the increased urgency for a centre-back at Chelsea, with Terry being sent off again, sent off at the weekend. I can understand why he's put the transfer request in. I'm surprised Everton haven't dealt with it a little bit more publicly. Like, West Brom immediately came out and said that Saido Berahino's handed a transfer request in, we've rejected it. And that was, you know, kind of it for the time being, whereas Everton are not really dealing with it. You asked a couple of weeks ago where I thought it would be at the end of the transfer window, and I said Everton. Then when John Terry got taken off at half-time against Man City, I thought they're obviously going to go hell for leather for him, and I thought he'd then go to Chelsea. I still think he will. I still think he'll go to Chelsea, but Everton, I think, with the money that they're going to get from the TV deal next season, if they want to at least show to their fans that they're still a big club, have to keep hold of him. They'll gain so little by selling him. You get 36 million or whatever it'll be, and that's great, but who will they get? They're not going to be able to buy a defender of that calibre. They'll probably buy another centre-back for about 10 million, and they'll have some more money in the bank. But ultimately, next season, you get a new TV deal, you get £100 million for that alone. Where's the big incentive to sell one of your top assets?
And let's always remember, and this is something I always like to bring into this. Of course, John Stones is a Barnsley lad.
Yeah.
There's a big expectation that maybe they will end up taking a cut from the transfer deal to Everton. So they won't actually be getting all that money anyway. And I remember saying, we're talking about this for a few weeks now, and I do actually think he'd fit in very, very well at Chelsea with the way that he would be playing games. You know, he wouldn't always be coming in off the bench at the 70th minute and doing really a bit of what Kurt Zouma's done for quite a while. Mm. He really will solidly be in that back four for some time.
I think he will, and I really do feel that he's... I feel he's capable of playing in Chelsea's back four, but whether Jose Mourinho would want to play him so soon when he's still got Gary Cahill and John Terry. But, you know, you've got six Champions League group games, three of which will probably be walkovers, you know, for a team like Chelsea. He could play in all of them. League Cup games, possibly the early FA Cup games. I think if he signs for Chelsea this summer, I think he could probably expect to start 15 to 20 games in all competitions this season.
Well, it's interesting stuff. I'm going from one transfer request to another. Saido Berahino, looks like he could be on his way to Spurs now.
Yeah, I mean, there's also been talk of him moving to United as well. Really? Everyone knows how much they need a striker, and maybe people have put two and two together and come up with five. But yeah, it's another one that's rumbled on. When he said at the weekend that he didn't want to play, I don't like that. Handing a transfer request in is one thing, but just saying that you're not in the right frame of mind to play, I'm not keen on that at all. And as it happened, West Brom still managed to score twice and nearly got a result. But no, I think West Brom, they have signed Salomon Rondon, and the signing for big money was a club record fee. I think that was done with Berahino in mind. And again, he's probably one I think will move. Whether it's Tottenham, whether it's Manchester United, I'm not sure at the moment, but I do expect him to move before the end of the transfer window.
Yeah, where's this come from, that a player hands in a transfer request and then goes, I'm not in the right frame of mind for doing it? Because that's what De Gea's done as well.
Well, we don't really know what he did.
Yeah, but it's this similar, Raheem Sterling, this, all right, I'm not getting what I want, so I'm not going to play for X, Y, Z reason. Yeah. Well, I don't know where this came from. At one time, you would always just play until, you know, even if you didn't play very well, you'd still end up playing in the squad or being in the team.
Well, this is what I liked about John Stones, because even though I think we all sort of realised he'd want to go to Chelsea, because if he didn't, he'd have come out and stopped it all himself. We all thought he wanted to go, but I think he's handled himself very professionally. You know, he's not kicked up a fuss. Like Julian Lescott in 2009, when he was at Everton and Man City came calling, I think the first game of the season they got battered by Arsenal about 6-1. It was an absolute shambles, you know. I think that John Stones has handled himself quite professionally, and I do think he'll get his move. Saido Berahino and other players, you know, maybe De Gea, maybe Sterling. I don't like to see it, but it's player power, you know. They do hold all the cards these days.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely very much the change time, and it seems to be doing that pretty much season on season. Now, we're going to have some music before we carry on a bit more of a chat about some of the latest transfer rumours, and we've also got a couple of great interviews coming your way later in the show as well.
Transfer Tittle Tattle on Radio Yorkshire.
Welcome back to Transfer Tittle Tattle with me, Danny Parkinson, here from 9 till 10 tonight. Liam Williams from The Mirror Online joins me in the studio, and that was Outside the Foo Fighters here on Radio Yorkshire. We've also got two cracking interviews coming up with Michael Cummins, the editor and writer for Bleacher Report, and also Rob Blanchett, another from Bleacher Report, who works on Manchester United. So I'm looking forward to those interviews. But first, let's just wrap up some of the other transfer news, Liam. And let's start with Pedro. And what a week it's been. Because, I mean, obviously, this story seems to have happened and gone. And he's now playing for Chelsea.
Yeah.
In the week between us finishing the show going, yeah, it looks like he's going to United, to us turning up today going, yeah, he's at Chelsea. It's just happened.
Yeah, strange, isn't it, how it's turned around.
Yeah.
I think the strangest thing about it is that nobody knows exactly what's happened. I don't think it's a case of Pedro just turning around and saying, actually, I don't want to play for Man United, I want to go to Chelsea, because he was set to go to United for weeks.
Yeah.
And that was the case. The story was that Ed Woodward was haggling over over the fee, which I find strange, because at £21 million or whatever it was, they'd pay more for Saido Berahino, you know? So I don't know if it was just that. I don't know if it was actually a case of Louis van Gaal saying, I don't want him. Maybe they've got someone bigger lined up. You know, say another Barcelona winger.
They've really got to start getting a move on, Liam, if they're going to sign someone bigger than Pedro.
Well, They don't have to look too much further at Barcelona, do they?
No.
For someone bigger than Pedro.
No, but you're right. But come on, I mean, it's how much bigger do you get than Pedro? Unless it's
well, like I don't know, Neymar, for example. Just throwing that name
out
there.
Oh, because that's definitely on the cards, isn't
well,
it? Yeah.
I do believe that there is actual interest in there.
I wouldn't be surprised if they put a bid in. I wouldn't be surprised.
I do believe that's the case.
If Manchester United put 140 million on the table, mate, because that is what Manchester United can do.
Yeah.
However, is this going to be another case of Neymar's going up to sign a new contract? Is it going to be another Ramos? Is it going to be that now? Because that's where it seems to me that it's just the old tricks are coming out.
I don't think it was. I don't think the story came about because Neymar wanted a new contract. No. I really believe that Manchester United were interested in trying to sign him, but it's like you've got to have some sort of realism,
yeah.
You know? Of the Barcelona front three, you've got Lionel Messi, Luis Suarez and Neymar.
Yeah.
And bizarrely, Neymar is the most realistic one, but it doesn't mean that you've got a chance of getting him, you know? The figures involved would be astronomical.
Yeah.
And the only reason I could see him wanting to leave Barcelona is to sort of step out of Lionel Messi's shadow and say, look, I am every bit as good, I am the best player in the world, and I'm going to do it away from Barcelona, I'm going to do it in England. But it's just... I'm going to really put my neck out here, Danny.
Go for it.
I'm going to say that Neymar will not sign for Manchester United.
Oh, you're taking the risks, the odds you would get on that.
I know, well...
But look, I just... For me, it's just... I couldn't agree more with you. I think that this is just... It reeks of it being a paper story, if you know what I mean. It reeks of, you know, it's just been one of those stories that just seems to have come out of absolutely nowhere. And it just seems to me where he's winning everything at Barcelona. Why spoil something that's already... I mean, they've got the best front three in the world.
Yeah.
The fans love him. They adore him.
Yeah.
And he's, you know, he's still got a lot of time for a big pay packet in the MLS and over at Turkey anyway.
Maybe it's a case of Man United wanting to say, look, well, we tried our best to sign all the best players in the world. Unfortunately, it didn't happen. But it's just it's such a strange way of going about it.
Yeah.
You know, you've got Gareth Bale, Cristiano Ronaldo, Thomas Muller, and now Neymar.
Yeah.
I think United would have the money to sign possibly two of those, maybe three. Maybe they've got the money to sign them all.
Yeah.
But you've got to actually do it, you know? Mm. And it's just so unrealistic.
Yeah.
And I still wouldn't be that surprised to see them go for another one of the big names.
Mm.
But actually getting them to the club is another matter entirely.
Well, let's see if Neymar will be taking a trip down to Stoke this season.
Yeah.
Right, let's move on to another signing. Mario Balotelli has finally left the Premier League, going over to Milan. Look, there's a section of people that said, why are Liverpool signing him? And a section of people called Liverpool fans that said he's going to be brilliant. Now, I could never see myself, I could never see Brendan Rodgers being able to turn him around. I couldn't see anything like that. I don't understand why it's taken so long for him to still be there.
Well,
you know?
You say that. When he came to Liverpool, some people, and not just Liverpool fans, some people thought, no, the guy's a good player. Mm. No, he's clearly got a lot of ability. And maybe Brendan Rodgers can turn him round. I was not one of those people. I've seen him at Man City. I've seen him in Italy. It's not working, is it?
No.
I wonder, because Jose Mourinho, when he was the manager of Inter, said that he's unmanageable. I wonder if something just clicked in Brendan Rodgers' mind. They thought, you know what? Maybe you can't manage him. Maybe I can. I thought, I'm going to do this. I'm going to turn his career around. And then realised he is unmanageable and sent him back to AC Milan.
But
dreadful business.
He's absolutely unbelievable. What it seems to me is that Brendan Rodgers, and you'll see this sometimes in sort of curry houses, and there'll be like a massive Narn challenge where you can win a trip or a car. And there's always that one bloke that goes, I can take this on.
Yes.
I will beat this.
Yeah.
Balotelli is the massive Narn challenge.
Yes,
that's what he is now.
I like the analogy.
So, we won't be talking too much about Mario Balotelli now, but it's hard to think that he's still quite young.
It's
his last chance. He's got another 6 or 7 years of football in front of him.
Yeah, but the problem is he's already had 6 or 7 years of football behind him.
Yeah.
And apart from these occasional glimpses, like when he did it for Italy in... Euro 2012, it might have been.
Yeah.
When he scored a fantastic... Yeah, it was, against Germany. He scored an absolutely brilliant goal. Nobody would deny that he has ability and talent, but the fact is he never applies it. What good is having ability if you never bother to apply yourself and actually put it into a game?
Yeah, that's why it might seem quite cynical of me, but it does annoy me a little bit with Mario Balotelli. A lot of kids would give the right arm to be in his position, and he's thrown it away time after time. But well, the papers will have to fill up a bit more of a column now that Balotelli's gone. But to be fair, and you actually might be able to back me up on this, since he's gone to Liverpool, the stories of sort of like fireworks in the kitchen and stuff, that hasn't been as much for me. No. I mean, there was a little bit at the start, and then it died down altogether.
Yeah, maybe, you know, he's coming towards his mid-20s, and maybe he's growing up, and maybe he's stopped throwing darts at people and setting fireworks in his bathroom. Maybe he's growing up. Maybe our Mario's finally turning into an adult.
Maybe. Let's move on to probably one of the last stories now, and that has to be on Otamendi. Another one where this time last week we were saying, oh, there's some rumours about him going to Manchester United, and then he signed for Manchester City on pretty much the same time as Pedro signed for Chelsea. I mean, this is a loss for Manchester United, isn't it? It depends how the season goes, but it would have been nice for Manchester United to have had him in their back four, especially with it being quite unsturdy.
No, because I think, like I said to you last week, there was never actually any interest. Nobody ever came out and said, we want to sign him. It came from Valencia's side. No one at Man United said they were interested in him. They were in Ramos. That was a different situation. Never anything in Otamendi, which, don't get me wrong, I do find a little strange, because you do still think, even though they've been defensively solid, you still feel I could do with a bigger name in there, you know? I don't think it's a loss to them. I do think it's a gain to Man City, though. I think the centre-backs last season were one of their biggest weaknesses. The ever-reliable Vincent Kompany was poor for so much of the season. Yeah. Come marching out of defence, tackle, so foul someone on the touchline, have a go at the referee, and then sulk his way back to defence. It happened time and time again. There haven't been any signs of that this season. They have looked more solid defensively.
Yeah, very promising from Kompany.
Well, and Mangala as well, too. I think he's actually sort of stepped into the role. I think having a third centre-back there, because they've also still got, you know, Martin Demichelis as well, so I think having the extra defender certainly won't hurt the chances this season. I think it'd be a good signing for him.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that. I think actually Manchester City now, Liam, I'm not going to come out right and change any predictions and say they're going to win the title, but they're looking very strong, because they're looking strong up front and in defence, and that's something you don't see at Liverpool or Arsenal or Manchester United, really.
No, they seem to be doing what they usually do when they win the league and they're fantastic, and then the season after they are terrible. And then the season after, they win the league again, and they keep doing this, you know. And maybe, I don't know, maybe there's something in the squad where they think, right, we've lost the title, we've now got to get it back.
Yeah.
Maybe they're complacent when they win the league. I don't know. I don't know what it is, but like you say, they have started the season very strongly.
Stay with us, because we've got some absolutely fantastic interviews coming up after some music. We've got Michael Cummins from Bleacher Report and Rob Blanchett from there as well, who writes predominantly on Manchester United. That's all coming up very shortly.
Transfer Tittle Tattle on Radio Yorkshire.
Liam Williams from the Mirror Online still joins me, but now we're going to have a little bit of a chat about Arsenal and the transfer window that has been for the club. Signing Petr Cech could be one of the signings of the summer window, but they haven't really brought anyone else in. And to discuss that is Michael Cummins, writer and editor for Bleacher Report UK. Michael, thanks for joining us.
Yeah, thanks a lot. I appreciate you having me on.
It's been a funny few weeks for Arsenal. Quite a few people having them as title contenders. What have you made of the start to their season so far?
Well, it hasn't been the start they wanted, definitely. That's what we can say for sure. You know, the loss at home to West Ham to start the season, that's not what anybody surrounding Arsenal, you know, thought they would start with. It was a disappointing game. Petr Cech, you know, he didn't fare too well on those two goals that they scored, but there were deeper problems than just Cech's mistakes there. So it started off kind of poorly, and then Arsenal went to Crystal Palace, picked up a win. You know, they looked good at times, didn't finish their chances. The points are the most important thing, though, of course. And then so you have one win, one loss, and then after that you have the scoreless draw with Liverpool. In a vacuum, that's a decent result, even at home. But I think based on the way people had been excited about this season, that's not what we wanted so far. So a disappointment for sure so far, and they're going to have to pick things up.
And what have you made already to the summer transfer policy of Arsene Wenger?
Well, it's kind of the same old story, isn't it? They've only made one signing. It was bringing Cech in, and that was a great signing. Of course, you know, despite the errors on the first day, you know, he was excellent against Liverpool. That's the Petr Cech we all know. So that was a great signing. I don't think it was enough. I'd still like to see them shore up the defensive midfield. I think Coquelin has been excellent, especially, you know, since coming back from Charlton. But they could really use some depth in that position. Somebody to challenge him. Maybe somebody who can even make the play flow a little bit better. Maybe somebody that would be so, like, more of a Mikel Arteta, who's not 33, but can tackle a little bit. And then I would still like to see another striker. The Karim Benzema rumor, maybe that wasn't as realistic as some thought, but I think we could still see another striker come in, though clearly it's not going to be Benzema at this point. So I'd like to see those two. I'd like to see those two areas strengthened.
Especially up front, we've been talking on this show for a while about the Benzema rumours and how long they've been going on for. We've heard some rumours maybe about Edison Cavani going to the Emirates. Who would you really like to see up front for Arsenal now?
You know, Cavani would be a good choice. I don't know how realistic that is, because PSG, they don't really need to sell. You know, they're not strapped for money. I think they're okay with FFP at the moment. I'm not quite sure on that one. That's a good question. Benzema would have been, I think, a really great signing. Cavani would do well. Those two would be fine for me, but I don't really see either happening, especially Benzema, because, you know, we all saw the tweet the other day. So I think that ship has sailed.
Hi, Michael. Liam here.
Hey, Liam.
Hi. Just one on Benzema. Why do you think the club didn't make more of an effort to go and sign him? Do you think they were happy enough with the strikers that they've got?
Well, only behind the scenes people would know. They might have been. You never know the way Wenger talks. Sometimes it's hard to tell what he really thinks. You know, he'll say that he's happy with the squad, but you know that might not be the whole truth, I guess, right? But he has Giroud, and Giroud is a great player. But is he the kind of player that you can win a title with? That's the big question. And then you have Theo Walcott, Danny Welbeck. I think it's a strong front line, but it's maybe not as strong as it should be. There are a few things those guys don't quite do as well as you'd like. You know, Giroud maybe isn't the fastest player in the world, but he's strong. So then you have Walcott, who is a fast player. I don't know. I think Wenger might feel like he has enough, but fans probably would disagree with him on that. So why did they not go stronger after Benzema? I don't know. Real Madrid are pretty tough to deal with, as we all know. Maybe they wanted enough money, or maybe they just really didn't ever want to sell.
And looking at the expectations for the season, seeing Manchester City in the form that they've been in, and Chelsea and Manchester United as well, have any expectations dropped at all, or do you think that a title challenge is still where Arsenal should be aiming this season?
I think they should still be aiming for the title challenge, but it hasn't been a good start, like we were saying just a minute ago. Manchester City looked to be in great form. We might even look back on this and say, you know, they had the title wrapped up, you know, by this point of the season. I'm not saying that's the case. I'm just saying we might look back and say that just how ominously they're playing. For Arsenal, they should be targeting the title. I'm not really sure how realistic that is after three games. At the same time, I don't want to panic. And I don't think fans should panic. It's early. There's still a lot of talent, obviously, in the team. They have so many great attacking players. Ozil, Alexis, you know, Aaron Ramsey hasn't been playing his best, but he's still a great player. So there's still a ton of talent. Wenger really just has to sort a few things out and maybe a couple of key signings, and they could be right back in it.
Michael, it's always great to hear from you as well, and being over in America, have you seen the Premier League and its expectations over there? Have you seen it grow as a sport? Is it become more of a brand over in America now?
Yeah, I think so, definitely. Just to give you some perspective, I live in Alabama. That's where I'm from. That's probably not where you would think there are many Premier League fans at all, but there are quite a few here, and it's huge. People love the Premier League. People love soccer. It's really growing. Everybody is always talking about the Premier League all the time. And it's a lot, I think, a lot to do with the coverage that NBC Sports has brought in the last few years. They've really raised the level of coverage. It's just so much more professional now than it was in years past. And then, of course, the game is just growing overall. But those two factors put together, I think it's just made it really great in America. It has become a great brand, and I think it'll only keep growing.
Well, as always, fantastic to hear. And what have you made of some of the MLS news and some of the great Premier League players that have come over to America to play now?
Well, you know, it's fun to see them, you know, closer. But I just wish that we could maybe see some of them more in their prime, I guess, right? The big one was Beckham, of course. And you know, we've had a few more now. Kaká is not a Premier League player, but I think it's been great to have him over here. Same for Andrea Pirlo. He's one of my favorite players. Also not a Premier League player, but just some of these big players that we have coming in into MLS. I think that's great for the league, even if they're maybe in their last years, because it just brings that star power into the league and raises the profile. And it's also just a lot of fun to watch them. Just to say, you know, I saw Andrea Pirlo play in person. I mean, I haven't yet, but I hope to at some point. So yeah, that would be great. And it is great for the league.
Michael, that's absolutely brilliant. Thanks a lot for joining us on the show.
Hey guys, I appreciate it.
Transfer Tittle Tattle on Radio Yorkshire.
Life is a Fear, editors here on Radio Yorkshire. Transfer Tittle Tattle with me, Danny Parkinson, here from 9 till 10 tonight. The last Transfer Tittle Tattle while the transfer window's still open. How about that? It shuts in 7 days' time. Join us next Wednesday, 9 till 10, and we'll be reviewing all of the transfer news that's been happening, so you don't have to sit down for 14 hours and looking at your phone during work, trying to figure out what's going to be happening. Me and Liam are going to wrap all of that up very soon. But first, we're going to talk Manchester United with Rob Blanchett, Bleacher Report UK, the faithful Manchester United, amongst a lot of other things. Rob, how's it going? Thanks a lot for joining us.
Thanks a lot.
So let's have a look at starting off with Manchester United season so far. What have you made of the last few games?
Well, I think United have obviously got 7 points from the first nine. I think that's a great performance. I think overall the football itself hasn't been particularly inspiring. I think Van Gaal has sort of become accustomed to this more conservative style in the Premier League. But I've been pleasantly surprised by some aspects of the play. I think the defence has been really good for United. I think the midfield looks really promising, but I think the real issue really is up front, and they don't seem to have a striker that can score goals every game, and that's going to be a huge issue going forward.
That's exactly what I wanted to bring up with you, Rob. How essential is it now that Manchester United brings someone in up front before the end of the transfer window?
Well, obviously United have relied on Rooney's goals for many, many years now, and I think we've got to the point now where it's not a case that Rooney has completely declined in his own game, but he's definitely finding it harder to do the striker's role. He's still got, obviously, fantastic qualities in other parts of the pitch. But you still see he likes to drop deep. We saw this in the Newcastle game. He goes looking for the ball. And it's really essential that United have a striker who could be a real genuine number nine and put the ball in the back of the net. And I think the player you can really look towards in terms of a model of a player that United need is someone like a Sergio Aguero.
And let's just talk a little bit about the some comments made today that Marouane Fellaini is going to be starting up front. Is that something that could be a little bit of a stopgap for United?
Well, yeah, it doesn't surprise me at all. I think when you look at where Fellaini's real use in the squad is, he's not going to be used in the midfield now. I think with the likes of Schneiderlin and Schweinsteiger being brought in, the space for him to perform in those areas has gone now. But we all saw how great he was for Everton, you know, playing as a sort of number 10 just to the side of the striker. And I think Van Gaal will try and experiment with that and Rooney up front. I think that makes sense. Januzaj's done okay since he's come in, but he doesn't really pose a huge threat. But we all know that Fellaini's got that goal-scoring touch, so he could certainly do that for United.
And Rob, let's have a little look at the transfer policy over the summer and some of the transfers that have happened and haven't. This time last week, me and Liam were sat in the studio talking about Pedro going to Manchester United, and in that week he's gone to Chelsea and performed very well in his opening game. What do you make of the news and the saga that surrounded that?
Well, I think the transfer window itself has become almost farcical, I think, with some of the rumours and some of the moves. But I think when you look at Pedro, yeah, he would have been a great signing for United fans. I think they'd have all enjoyed having him at the club. But he didn't really suit exactly what United need. And as we've just touched on there, United need an out-and-out goal scorer, a number nine who can come into the club and score goals. I think Pedro will do really well at Chelsea. I think he suits their system to a T. You know, he'll play off Costa and he'll make those runs exactly as we saw in his first match. But it doesn't really surprise me that he didn't go to United, in the sense that Van Gaal probably was looking at him, but at the end of the day didn't really fancy going through with it.
We've also seen a couple of signings that really have made some great headway in the United squad, the likes of Damian and Depay. What have you made of those signings coming in, and Schweinsteiger as well?
Well, I think Damian's been the star so far. I think he's been excellent in every match. He was a bit of a left-field signing. You know, he wasn't a player that a lot of the fans were particularly familiar with, but I think anyone who follows European football had heard about him and seen him play well for Italy against England. But I think overall as well, if you look at Depay, he scored two great goals in the Champions League last week, but there's still a lot of raw talent there to get through, and he's really got to improve his game and his application. That will come with time, but it's just whether a case United actually have the time to take him through that journey to become a truly world-class player. But I think the player I'm really looking towards this season is Schneiderlin. I think he's really got the Premier League pedigree. We saw what he did with Southampton. And I think he'll lead that midfield now with himself and one other. You know, in games where United need to be a little bit more forward-thinking, I think we'll see Schweinsteiger. But I think in defensive matches, which, again, I think we'll see plenty of this season, I think we'll see Carrick.
Hi, Rob. Liam here.
Hi, Liam.
Hi. Just to go back to Rooney for a second, where do you think his best position is at the moment? Because he doesn't seem to be playing particularly well wherever he's been deployed over the last sort of few months.
Well, if I was the manager at the moment, his best position would be sub. That's where I'd have him at the moment, because I think when you look at where he has played, as we said last season in midfield, he wasn't particularly effective, but he was kind of forced to play that role. His alleged favourite role is the number 10, but again, he doesn't really have the touch or the pass to really play that role effectively. And when you see him now up front, he looks slow. So I think it's difficult for him, and it's difficult for Van Gaal, obviously, to include him in every match. But for me, I think if United did bring in a star number nine, a star striker, he wouldn't be in the team.
And let's have a look at some of the teams that have been playing in the Premier League so far. Have they raised your expectations for the season so far? Do you think that there's other teams that do have some major problems, like Arsenal up front and Chelsea with the problems that are going on there at the moment? Do you think Manchester United might be able to capitalise on that and really be able to move forward later in the season?
Well, quite possibly. I think for United, it's all about consistency of results. I think last year we saw that they had a torrid sort of first 10 games of the season, and that sort of put a lot of the ambition to one side, and it was just a case of getting into the top four. Do I think United can penetrate further into the top four? Not as things stand. If they get that number nine and they bring in a great striker, then absolutely they can. But I think when you look at the way that Manchester City have started, you know, they look ready for a great season. And I don't think Chelsea are that far away. They've not started particularly well results-wise, but they've got all the makings there of a team that can defend its title. And I'm actually pleasantly surprised with what I've seen from Arsenal and both Liverpool. I think Liverpool look a lot stronger defensively. And I think with Arsenal, I think Petr Cech will be a fantastic signing. He's a much better goalkeeper than what they've had in the previous last few seasons. So I think it could be tough for United this year in terms of making the top four. But there's also the flip side that if they do make that one key signing, that could propel them into second or third.
And Rob, I was looking at your article on Cuadrado yesterday, and I was wondering what really went wrong for him at Chelsea?
Well, it's a bizarre situation, really, because I think he was so hotly tipped to come to England. United wanted him for a long period of time. He ended up, obviously, at Chelsea. He had a great World Cup, obviously, as we know, the summer last year. But in terms of what Chelsea needed, he was kind of perfect. So what's happened behind the scenes, I really don't know, because he's never really been given the chance to go out there and do what he's good at. And I think we're seeing a similar thing at United with Ander Herrera. You know, it's the same kind of player, in a sense, of a creative player who the fans really like, and his style is very appealing. but for some reason the manager isn't convinced. So I think with Cuadrado, it was no surprise now, I think, after this year, and especially with Pedro coming to the club, that he was on his way back to Italy.
Well, Rob, thanks a lot for joining us. Absolute pleasure. Hope to talk to you again soon.
Yeah, great to speak to you. Cheers.
Transfer Tittle Tattle on Radio Yorkshire.
Well, that's all we've got time for here on Transfer Tittle Tattle. I hope you've enjoyed it. It's actually the last one where the transfers will be during the transfer window. We'll be back next Wednesday from 9 till 10, wrapping up all the news of the transfer window. And you have to sit through 14 hours of transfer news on the Tuesday. So just listen to us and listen to Radio Yorkshire on the Tuesday to find out everything that's relevant to you. And me and Liam will wrap it up for you on Wednesday. I mean, how about that, Liam?
Sounds good. Sounds better than a long stint in front of the TV.
Yeah, it does, doesn't it? I think we'll be
very
all right
loud
that.
Television presenters screaming about mediocre transfers.
Interesting stuff. One other fact that I wanted to share with you, actually, before we go, is Charlie Austin and what this weird little saga has become. We mentioned a few weeks ago about why is he not moved?
Yeah.
And all that's happened is West Ham have come out and gone, you've got no ligaments in your knee, son. You're not playing for us.
He's becoming a bit of a cult figure on this show now, isn't he?
He is, yeah.
He must move by this time next week. He must be in the Premier League. Yeah. He will be. I don't know where he'll be. I don't think he'll go for £15 million like the once.
No.
But he must go. He'll go.
Okay, fair enough. Well, we've got a Liam's Banker on there. Liam's Banker. I'll try and find that for you next week. Well, thanks a lot for joining us. It's David Bolton's Yorkshire Nights coming up next.
Transfer Tittle Tattle on Radio Yorkshire.